Thank you, Will. Good morning, Keystone. You glad you're here? Because I am glad you're here. I love this season of Prepare, honestly, personally. Even if you guys weren't walking through Prepare, I am eager to walk through Prepare over the next few days. But then to look around and to see all you guys who are gonna be walking with us through that season and maybe what God's gonna do is super exciting. I'm gonna start this morning, not in our text, but I wanna read a passage that you probably know. You've probably read, some of you have memorized it, but I want to jump in and start there. This is it. This is John chapter 10, verse 10. This is Jesus speaking, and he says this: a thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, and I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. On the authority of Jesus himself, here's what he's saying. The Christian life is a life of flourishing. If you're a Christian, the phrase I'm gonna say this morning is you were made to flourish. You were made to flourish. In fact, that's gonna be the focus that we're gonna press into the entire year is this phrase, made to flourish. If you've been around Keystone a while over the year of 2022, you heard us say God's voice is the loudest voice a lot. And so as we move into 2023, you're gonna hear from us, the leadership, the elders, as we come together every year, say, God, where are you leading our church? It's this phrase, made to flourish. Let me give you the scope of that. The scope of that is, we really want you, we're gonna take Jesus at his word, that word that you're to have abundant life, you have a flourishing life. We wanna ensure that we help you in every way that we can to help you flourish, to make sure that you are flourishing in all areas of your life. Another piece of that is that our culture, it tells us some things that are flourishing, they're absolutely destructive in our lives. And as a church, we want to discuss those things. We want to be honest about those things. But lastly, we're going to talk about that this morning, but as we move throughout the year, is God has actually called us as salt and light. In Jeremiah 29, we see this, that we're to seek the welfare, the flourishing of our city. Did you know that your representation in your neighborhood ought to be flourishing with people around you? And so we actually should have an effect on the people we're living around. We'll talk about that as we move forward, but here is the point for this morning. It's the focus of this year, made to flourish. Let's come back to what Jesus says. It says, I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance, so that you may be flourishing. And here's what I want to stop real quick, just a gut check moment. Because some of you in this room, even though you believe in Christ, you trust God in your soul, in weak moments, and maybe in every moment, you'd say, I don't know if that's true. I know what Jesus said, but if you looked at my life, that's not true, because your story is, I'm not flourishing. I'm not in abundance. You would say, I'm more of a frustrated parent than an abundant parent. You would say that I am very underappreciated in the work and the roles that I have in my life. My roles and my responsibilities are not flourishing. They're actually choking me. Maybe there's some loneliness that just doesn't even remotely feel like flourishing to you. And you're saying, I know what Jesus says, but this is my life. And there's a gap between what Jesus clearly teaches and offers and what we experience of your life. This is something unique. I think it's actually highlighted over the last few years. And the thing that all of us as elders have kind of shook our heads at in moments, and this is a reality in these days more than my whole adult life, and this is it. Christians are struggling with life at the same level non-Christians are. And non-Christians, we understand, they don't have hope, they don't have a rudder of God's word. There's a lot of struggles. We can look at that and go, that makes sense. But even Christians, we would say, wow, I'm not at the level, I'm not at the Jesus abundance. I'm actually feel like I'm struggling just like my people in my neighborhood or at my work that don't have hope. There's this famous Warren Buffett quote I wanna quote to you this morning. This is what it says. It's only when the tide goes out that you learn who has been swimming naked. Now, I'm not sure as a pastor you're supposed to say naked on the stage. But it happened, and we're gonna roll with it. And here's the reason I love this phrase. He's talking about business. When the economic conditions change, there's some businesses that have bad fundamentals, and they get exposed. You business guys understand that. But what I would say is that there's a season, like the idea is everything looked good, circumstances changed, and we actually find out that there was a lot of brokenness. And I think that's true where we're standing in this moment. Pre-pandemic, man, there were problems, but the economy was great. There seems to be a lot of great things, and we blame it on the pandemic, but the pandemic was just this inflection, cultural inflection point that erupted a lot of things. It was the pandemic, it was politics, it's racial tensions, it's the difference in generations. Have you ever hung out with a boomer and then hung out with a Gen Z? A little bit of difference, right? Like, we're in a season where technology has upflipped all of our world and we're all trying to wrestle with it. It was an inflection point. Culturally speaking, the tide has gone out. And there's Christians, some in this room, that you're saying, I don't know if what Jesus said in John chapter 10 is true. I don't know if the abundant life is actually for me, if flourishing is for me. So if you fill that gap, if you quietly wonder, is Jesus lying? Is what he says really true? Let me tell you something. Jesus was not lying. Jesus brings abundance. You were made to flourish. Let's jump into Jeremiah chapter 17 to look at that. We're going to read a pretty simple passage, three verses. It's not complicated, but it's going to give us a path forward. I want to read the whole thing for us this morning, and then we're going to jump in and chop it all up, look at every section of it, and then walk away with some key applications. This is Jeremiah chapter 7, beginning in verse 5. And God's word says this. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the person who trusts in mankind. He makes human flesh his strength and his heart turns from the Lord. He will be like a juniper in the Arabah. He cannot see when good comes, but dwells in the parched places, in the wilderness, in a salt land where no one lives. A little bit of difference next, verse 7. The person who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is indeed in the Lord, is blessed. He will be like a tree planted by water. It sends out its roots towards a stream. It doesn't fear when heat comes, and its foliage remains green. It will not worry in a year of drought or cease producing fruit. Jeremiah gives this passage of this is what it means to be cursed. This is what it means to be blessed. The phrases that I'm going to use this morning is for cursed is a lot, we're going to say a lot, floundering. And for blessed is flourishing. So let's start this morning with cursed. I'm going to read it again. This verse, beginning of verse 5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the person who trusts in mankind. He makes human flesh his strength, and his heart turns from the Lord. He will be like a juniper in the Arabah. He cannot see when good comes, but dwells in the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land where no one lives. Cursed. I don't know about you, but I don't live, I mean, we have used those words cursed, but for most of us, the concept of cursed comes with like a animated story where someone cursed somebody else. Or maybe, if you think about maybe like witchcraft, cursed. I don't have a lot of experience with cursed. I'll tell you the closest I've ever come. Many of you know I led worship for a lot of years, and one time in service we had a program like we have, and we had a section of like, how can we pray for you? And someone actually wrote on the card, it says, please start playing more hymns so I can stop sticking my voodoo to all of you. Wow. I mean, can we all agree there's some crazy Christians? Somebody say amen, right? So let me get this right, because I'm not singing the right theological hymns. You're going to result to voodoo? All right, I got you, right? Like that's what, I don't really have much more of cursed, but here's what cursed is. Cursed is ill fortune from a divine being. It's a curse. And what's interesting is I didn't really care about the person who wrote that on the program, because here's the thing, I didn't know who wrote it. But I know that they didn't have power over me. But what's interesting in this scripture is, this is the word of God. This is what Jeremiah says. This is the Lord. This is what the Lord says. You're cursed. What's interesting is we often love the promises of God that give us abundance, right? But we don't often listen to the promises of God when it's negative to us. And here he's like, you're cursed. And how are we cursed? And this is what the Lord says. It says, you're cursed if you trust in man. If you trust in man. Let's kind of unpack what that means. It means you trust in man's way instead of God's. It's the simplest way we can say it. Or maybe a practical way that looks like is there's just something going on in your life. You actually run to the advice of people more than you run to the advice of God. You're trusting in man. The next phrase, it says you trust in human strength. In human strength. I think that can come from two different ways. It's your own strength where you're trusting, I got this. I can figure it out. Maybe you're a control freak and you're like, I got this. I got to trust in myself. I got to check the box. I got to get all my stuff done. Or maybe you even trust in human strength of getting your strength from others, maybe through approval or other means. But if that's you, God says you're cursed. And it's also that you turn your heart away from the Lord. Here's what I've seen in my life. Very few people are running 100 miles an hour towards God and immediately stop and change course and like, I'm done with God. Here's what happens. Most people turn their heart away from God passively and quietly, slowly. You begin to value things that God doesn't value. Yeah. And then you start inwardly and quietly going, yeah, I think I should do this. And then eventually that U-turn comes in your life where you turn away from the living God. And what's the result? What's the result of that behavior, that action in your life? Look at verse 6. He will be like a juniper in the Arabah. He cannot see when good comes, but dwells in the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land where no one lives. A juniper in the Arabah. I'm just guessing today that most of you don't have a mental picture of what a juniper in the Arabah is. Here's what that means. Actually, you could translate it very succinctly this way. It's, you're a bush in the desert. You're a bush in the middle of the desert. The Arabah is a desert. Let me give you an image of that. If you're trusting in yourself, if you're trusting in man, you're cursed. And your life will be like a struggling bush in the midst of a very desolate desert. What the scripture says, they're barely hanging on. They're trying to survive for life, sending the roots down, hoping they get enough. And here's what the scripture says about this bush in the desert. It says, he cannot see when good comes. The landscape of your life is so bad, you assume everything poor is gonna happen. You can't even imagine that good would come to your life. You can't discern good. You have no capacity to see the good things of God. Have you ever known that person who can't see good in anything? Or have you ever been that person where you're just a bush and you're surviving and you can't see positive in anything? You can't see the hand of God. You just see suffering. Then it moves on. It says he dwells in the parched places in the wilderness. They're surviving and floundering in the desert because of the curse of trusting in humans. And this says here that it's in a salt land. It's in a salt land. There's enough agricultural people in the state of Iowa. I didn't grow up on a farm, but some of you knew this. I had to Google it. You can't grow in the salt. Because the salt, the sodium, pulls the nutrients from the soil and it steals it from the roots of the plants. And here's what's interesting. Those who were cursed, they're gonna try to plant. They're gonna try to get themselves going. But what's interesting is you're in a soil that won't ever allow it to happen. And some of you are incredibly frustrated with your life right now because you've been trusting in yourself. You've been trusting in your own strength. Like, look, I'm trying. I'm putting seeds in the ground. I'm trying to do the right thing. But what God is saying, you're trusting in yourself and not me. And you're never gonna be able to grow in that soil. It's not gonna be possible. You're not gonna produce a thing. Here's the idea. If you are trusting in the strength of man or self, you are inviting curses into your life. Eventually, maybe it's not true today, but eventually you will be floundering. You're gonna be floundering. Some of you are like, I got that season in my life. Thank you very much, Brent. You're gonna be floundering. But I got good news. Jeremiah doesn't stop there. Look at verse 7. Totally different story. Black and white. New story, new script. The person who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence indeed is the Lord, is blessed. He will be like a tree planted by the water. It sends its roots out towards a stream. It doesn't fear when heat comes, and its foliage remains green. It will not worry in a year of drought or cease producing fruit. Blessed. Totally different than cursed. We actually do use blessed in our language. If I sneeze, you say, bless you. Yeah. If you're from the South and you're actually pretty pitiful and you need a little bit of love, they'll say, oh, bless your heart. That's not a positive statement, by the way. They're like, man, you try. Bless your heart. So that's when we sneeze, and that's the Southern version of it. But let me tell you what blessing is from the scripture. This is Psalm 84:11. I love this passage after one of my favorite verses, Psalm 84:10. Better is one day in the house of the Lord than a thousand elsewhere. We'll keep going, but this is verse 11. And it says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord grants favor and honor. He does not withhold the good from those who live with integrity. Don't you want that in your life? The favor and honor of God, where God is blessing you. He's a sun, which means he's giving you life and light, but he's also a shield, which means he's protecting you. And favor from God is coming into your life. That is what it means to be blessed. Don't you want that in your life? Here's how you get it. Verse 7, the person who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is indeed is the Lord, is blessed. You got to trust in the Lord and put your confidence. Here, let's talk about trust. We're going to come back to this before we end today. But here's what trust is. Trust is an action. What's interesting with trust is it starts in our minds and our hearts. It starts with a notion or an affection of like, yes, I trust. But for it to be fully trust, it's got to cross the line into action. You can't just think about something to trust. You got to move into that action. Let me give you an example. So let's just say that I'm a rock star today, okay? I got my guitar, you can imagine it. And all good rock stars know how to stage dive. You with me? I've actually done this several times. It's awesome. One time I snuck on a festival stage and jumped off. Like, it was really scary, but I did it. So if I was today, like, listen, there's plenty of people. I'm going to stage dive. And I was like, hey, you guys come around. You stand right here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to stand back. I trust you. And I'm going to take off running and jump. And you've got to catch me. Okay? And I was like, I trust you. You got this? I'm with you, Danny. You got me, bro. I'm with you. You ready? Here we go. And I run. I'm like, oh, yeah. And I just kept like, I trust you. Stay right there. I got you. And I ran and I was, yeah, I don't know. Eventually, the people down here would be like, you don't trust us. You can say you trust us, but you don't trust us because your safe rear is still on the stage, right? Put this in terms of God. Listen, let this cut into your soul a little bit. We stand and sing these songs. God, I trust you. Your ways are higher than my ways. God, we make prayers that, God, I believe in you. And yet, with our lives, we never cross the line and move into action. If God's word is true, it requires trust. It's not just mentally ascending and with our hearts going, yes, God, we trust you. You got to move. You got to move into action. That's what the blessed person does. They don't just know what Jesus says. They move out in it. And what is the result? He will be like a tree planted by the water. Verse 8, it sends out its roots toward a stream. It doesn't fear when heat comes, and its foliage remains green. It will not worry in a year of drought or cease producing fruit. A tree planted by waters. Stark contrast to a bush in the desert. Check out this picture. Radically different landscape. Completely different. What's interesting is that tree, we don't know how old it is, but it looks old. If you could see the picture a little bit better, that's a rocky bank, but it doesn't matter because that tree has got roots and it has lasted decades and those roots go deep. It is next to a water source. And here's the reality of those who trust the Lord. They send out roots because they have a source in the stream. And for those of us who believe in God, we send our roots of trust out to the stream because we know that God is living water, that he is the stream of life. For those of you, you've had stories, you've had seasons in your life where you have deep roots, where it's going to the stream. And you've done that because we know the word of God, which says, draw near to God and I will draw near to you. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness and all these things, all of them will be added to you. Jeremiah 33:3 says this, call to me and I will answer you great and wonderful things that you do not understand. And those who trust God are people who have sent their roots down and like, God, you're gonna meet me. I'm gonna plant my roots by the stream. And what's interesting is for those who do that, there is no fear when the heat comes and they don't worry in a drought. Cursed and floundering folks, they're just surviving. They're floundering. So they can't even imagine that anything good would come. But blessed folks, people who are trusting, they're flourishing in God. They see the bad. They recognize it. It's drought. It's horrible. But I ain't worried. I got roots down near the stream of God. Their life remains green. It is flourishing. What's interesting is it says it does. They do not cease producing fruit. See that flourishing? See that abundance? Even in the midst of a drought, even in the midst of a couple bad years, they're not worried. Because their trust has always been in God. This is interesting for this producing fruit concept because in our modern Western idea of producing fruit, for us, producing fruit means accomplishment. It means success. In an ancient Eastern context, the concept of producing fruit means that I provided for someone else. And the idea here is if you are flourishing, if your roots are deep near God, it's not about you and look what I accomplished. It's about look what I can provide for someone else. Because in the desert where this is written, it is desert. And there's no HVAC systems in the ancient world. The only way to get a break from the sun is green foliage. It's the only way to get out. The only way to eat is to get fruit from a tree. You ain't got a Hy-Vee. And for them, they're saying, listen, and if you're flourishing, you're providing for other people. Some of you got stories about people in your life that you're like, I want to be around them because they're flourishing and I love sitting in their shade. I love hanging out with this mentor. I love hanging out with this saint of God who has stories and scriptures of God's faithfulness because you're just like, I'm going to eat your fruit when I'm scared and when I don't have faith. I'm going to believe. It's easy for me to believe because I've seen you do it. Let me give you a caveat. Before we move into some deep application, this is a really important thing that you need to understand this morning. Flourishing is not about your circumstance. It's about who you trust. That's good. I'll amen myself for that one. Flourishing is not about your circumstance. It's about who you trust. Notice that the bush is in a parched land. Notice that the tree is in a year of drought. It's not the best circumstance. It's not the best environment. It's not what they had wanted, but they do not worry. And the reason that they can still flourish is not because of what's happening, the circumstances. It's because who they are trusting in. And the trust is all the difference in the world. We talked about it. Trust is an action. It starts in the heart and it starts in the mind, right? But it has to move into action. Let me give you a recipe for trust. You're taking notes, this is a really helpful thing. A recipe for trust is this, know what God says. You can't trust if you don't know what God says. You've never been in an easier time in life, in the history of the world, to know what God says about certain things. Do you know what God says? And number two is you gotta move it into action. It's not just enough to put it in your brain, you gotta move into action because one of the biggest tensions of Christianity is this. It's easier to know about Christ than to follow Christ. It's so much easier just, oh, I know what that says. Oh, yeah, yeah, I can quote that for you. I learned that in Awana. But you ain't lived it since you've been in Awana. So easy to know, different to follow. So I want to give you an assessment this morning. I'm going to give you some homework for this week as we move into prepare. The questions that we're going to be asking is, are you floundering or are you flourishing? I want to show you a screen up here. You can take your phones out because I know I get to see you guys. You can all do that if you want. Also, this is online at keystonelife.com/prepare. And this is going to be a big piece of prepare. And here's my question. This is such a huge thing because I want you to see the instructions on this card. That's it. Reflect on these areas of your life. Use the chart to score your trust in each area. Notice I didn't say your circumstance in each area. Because we can't control circumstances. We can control who we trust. The question is, the idea that the text is given us today, are you trusting in yourself? You're floundering. Are you trusting in God? You're flourishing. It's not your circumstance. Let me give an example. There's some of you in this room, your relationships are floundering, but actually you're trusting God in it, and you could say, I'm flourishing. We're not looking at our circumstance. There's been seasons of my life where my finances, if you just looked at my bank account, you'd go, floundering. But here's what I know. It's a season where I'm trusting God with my finances, and I'm actually doing what he says to do in my finances. So I don't care what my bank account says. I'm actually flourishing because I'm starting where God wants. And that's the assignment for you as you go throughout this week. As you prepare, one of the tools is so you can enter into prepare, because what I'm asking you to do is not rate me on your satisfaction or your circumstance, but probe your heart and say, God, am I trusting you in this area? And the only way you'll know if you're trusting God in this area is if you know what God says. So this might be a tool for you to go, you know what? I'm at negative 10, or wait, not negative 10. I'm at a 1 on vacation. Circumstance doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you get paid the least in this room or you get paid the most. That's a circumstance. Not interested. Are you being faithful to what God's called you to do? That's what I'm asking. So what does God say about your relationship, your finances, your church? What does God say about your interaction with that? And rate yourself with that. And the needs that you discover, I'm going to press you into doing this because the needs you discover is going to help you enter in to prepare. And let's pause and talk about prepare a little bit. Will did a great job. Guys, there, we did a podcast on Friday. You can hear a little bit more about it. Everything you need to know is keystonelife.com/prepare. There's videos explaining what we're doing, videos over fasting. There's articles. You've seen all that. But here, I want to give you a few things as we walk through that. Let's walk through this book together. The first is, as we walk through this book, you're gonna see some prayer prompts because prayer is a massive piece. You can grab your book, you're gonna see it on the screen as well. I'm gonna talk to you a little bit of going from this assessment tool directly to page 5. You can see it on the screen. And here's the reason I'm talking about. The reason we're doing some assessment for you is this, is my hope is that you and the Lord are gonna sit down and you're gonna look at those areas in your life and you're like, well, what does the scripture say? In fact, this is the reason we have a lot of scripture. Your spiritual growth, you could actually look at faith and see what the God's word. Maybe it's about stewardship, that's your finances. Maybe it's about your faith and family. I know there's a section over marriage and family. God's word is really clear on some teaching. So you could see, you could line up, am I trusting God's word or not? And then our hope for you is, once you've walked through that assessment, that will be kind of tilling the soil for you to begin to write some prayers, because our hope is that on page 5, you're gonna assess your life and say, God, where am I floundering, where am I flourishing? And you're gonna write some prayers for your life and for your family and the direction God wants you to go. And these are gonna be faith-filled prayers. I wish that I had time to sit. I keep record of every prayer I've prayed all year long. And there are some that we're literally like, I couldn't imagine if God could do it, but I'm just gonna write it down and trust God for it. And there's like 4 or 5 that God directly, very responsively have answered for me. So what I'm asking you to do is, what are you trusting God for in 2023? And is it in line with what his word says? The next is, as you look back one page, page 3 and 4, are prayer points for our church. We hope that over the next 3 days, that 4 days, I guess, that you would spend significant time praying for our church. Sometimes we're hyper-focused on our own lives. We're very individualistic in the West, brothers and sisters. It's not godly. But that you would, God, where are you taking us as a church? Where are we going as a church? The next thing is we're gonna gather. In this room, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Bad news, Monday night and Wednesday night sold out. In fact, we need a new building. Is anyone, that's one of the prayer points for our church, right? Monday night's Mark Vance. Tuesday night is Chris Haruska. Daniel Nimmers was supposed to speak, but he has some responsibilities he's got to care for back in Bloomington Normal. And I can't wait for you to get to know Chris Haruska. He's one of my favorite people. I'm on a board with him for the Salt Network. He's a Salt Network pastor. He's awesome. I'm eager for you guys to get to know him. And then many of you know Austin Wadlow, who's from here. We're going to meet in this room. We're going to worship. We're going to dive into God's word. We're going to listen to godly men bring godly words, and we're going to eagerly receive it. And our hope is that we would be a people who say yes before God's word's even preached. God, whatever it is, we're saying yes. And last is fasting. Listen, I can't talk about this tons this morning, but brother and sister, listen, this is an invitation. You need to know your body. You need to know what's going on in your life. It might take some preparation for you. I know it scares some of you, but I'm not the police. You don't win if you do certain things, but here's what I'm trying to tell you. I would encourage you to take a step of faith and a step of uncomfortability to trust the Lord in this season. And that what we would be doing is taking off something to put on more of God. Don't just, you know, eat fast so that you can get more, another hour of work done at work. Don't do that. Don't eat so you can feast on God's word. Press into that. We got resources available for you. If you also look at our book, just while we're in here, just to help some of you on the back, I think it's on page 16. There's a lot of what is fasting. Again, KeystoneLife.com/prepare. I'm done with my announcements, but it's not an announcement, brother and sister. It's an invitation. It's an opportunity for you to jump in with us. I want to end where we started. Jesus, the Messiah, our King. These are his words. They're not mine. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. Brother and sister, you were made to flourish. My question is, who are you trusting in? Who are you trusting in? Before I pray, let's just say this as well. There's some in this room that you don't know Jesus. Let me be really candid, and I'm saying this I'm trying to be as humble and kind in saying this. If you don't know Jesus, you are cursed eternally away from God. But the beautiful thing here is trust is the difference here. Scripture says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And your step of trust this morning would be to trust that Jesus is the Son of God, that he did pay for your sin. And not only did he pay for your sin, he overcame your sin, and he's inviting you in to a flourishing eternal life with him. And that would be the step you need to take this morning. Would you bow with me? God, this morning is so simple. It's not complicated. But for some reason, our hearts deceive us. And we think that we can flourish in our own ways, by taking our cues from ungodly means, ungodly culture, ungodly ways. And it's not true. And Spirit, what I'm begging you to do this morning is illuminate that. Remove the deception of our eyes, that we think we can flourish outside of your ways. Jesus, you came so that we could have an abundant, flourishing life. And the tragedy this morning is some of us have been deceived. So we're shining a light, God, through a simple assessment, through maybe prayer and fasting over the next few days. God, would you show us where we're not trusting you? God, would you convict us? Would you give us the faith to step out of dark into light? Just for a moment. What's one moment, one thing in your life right now that you know you're not trusting God in? Spirit of God, you're welcome in this place. God, at any moment, any of us can be deceived and start stepping into trusting in ourselves. And God, it leads to curses. It leads to being a bush in the desert with no hope. God, you've called us and you've provided a way for us to flourish. Help us respond. Amen.